Hey, also, do you want to do the intro? You pretend you're me, and I'll pretend I'm you. Go. I'm just kidding.
Hey, welcome to the show. It's Tim, Casual Tim.
Oh, boy.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Welcome to the next episode of Fathers of the Grind. My name is Tim Nestor. With me is Derek Teague. Derek, good
hello.
Evening.
Hello.
I actually paused my session of Uncharted 4 for the evening for us to record, so this better be a good one.
I don't think it's going to be a good one.
You have a bad feeling about it?
I just don't have the vibe right now.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see if we can keep that momentum then. That sounds great.
Show's already trash. Let's quit.
All right. Well, let's just touch base on a few things with everybody real quick. Next week, we are going to be recording our episode about the sixth generation of consoles. So that includes the PlayStation 2, the original Xbox, the Sega Dreamcast, and the Nintendo GameCube as your main four systems. So it was a pretty big generation of systems. Lots of memories there. Lots of amazing games came out from that generation. So here's what we'd like from you, the community, those of you who are listening. I'd love it if you would record anywhere from 15 seconds up to maybe a minute, minute and a half at the most, of some of your favorite memories from one or more of those consoles. Maybe it's, here are the consoles that I owned, here are some of my favorite games, or maybe if you've got some kind of specific memory tied to one of those, maybe college dorm life, or if you were in high school or middle school, whatever memory you have attached to those, I'd love to hear your stories about those consoles. So if you have them, send them on in. You can email them, you can post them to the group, you can send them to me in a Facebook message. So however you want to do that, feel free to send those our way. That would be awesome. So that'll be next week, but not this time. This time, and I just mentioned it, we want to talk a little bit about this big game that just released this week, Uncharted 4. And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, you've been playing this game a little bit.
A little bit. Not too much.
A little bit. All right, so I've been playing some Uncharted 4. I did not think I was going to stay up till midnight when it unlocked digitally, but I ended up staying up till midnight when it unlocked digitally because I was just so excited. And I played it for about an hour, stayed up a lot later than I should have for a weeknight. But it's we're not going to spoil anything. We're going to talk about spoilers later in this episode. That's our main topic today is spoilers. But we are actually going to make a concerted effort not to spoil anything. And even if I wanted to, I actually don't know some of the main plot points, because I'm only in chapter 7, so I'm still fairly in the game.
I'm like mostly through chapter 8, so I'm only a little ahead of you.
Okay.
Want to say this before we just jump in and start talking about our impressions. I'd like to get some feedback if you guys would be interested in us doing like an Uncharted 4 spoiler cast. It wouldn't be that long. We could probably do it in 20 or 30 minutes. I did not run this by Tim, so this is all just coming out literally right now. But I was thinking about it.
I'm going to pretend like it's a great idea. Keep going. Yes. I'm just kidding.
Fake it. Fake it till you make it. The reason why I was thinking about it is like we're both obviously going to play it. I think our goal is to beat it pretty fast. I think we could do it within a week. And I think it's a game that most of our community cares about enough that maybe they would want to hear our impressions. And I think if we did the spoiler cast in about a week, that would give plenty of our listeners time to beat it and then enjoy the show with us. So I think we're going to plan on doing that.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I want to do that. It's actually the only major game that I'm playing right now. So if I do have, time to end the day, then that's going to be the game that gets my attention for the most part.
I'm not the same as you right now, but we'll get into that.
Oh, later. Yeah? All right.
There's another distraction in my life.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, if it's anything to do with this... what's this game called? Was it called Titan Souls? No.
Titan Souls, that really, really good
garbage
game.
That's what it was. Okay.
Yeah.
I knew it was a Souls game of some kind. Nailed it.
Lego.
So Uncharted 4. Let me just give you some initial impressions. I'm going to keep it very vague. And a lot of these are kind of impressions most of you might have gotten just from the trailers and the preview stuff and screenshots. But my initial impression is that it is probably the most impressive, visually impressive game I can't think of any others that have impressed me as much as this one has. The Order 1886 came close. The Witcher 3 came close. I just think this is visually the most stunning game I've ever seen so far, both in terms of the environment, the lighting, the way the sun shines down, and it's just, it looks insane. And then, of course, the character models, the expressions. There's a few character conversations early in the game, and it really zooms in on the faces as they're interacting with each other.
Yeah.
And I'm sold, hook, line, and sinker, that these are real characters with real emotions and a real relationship, and I love it. So visually, it's stunning to me right off the bat.
Let me add to that, and then you can jump back in. One of the things I wanted to say about the visuals, with games, it's like, it's difficult. Like, it's easy to say, like, oh, the Order 1886 is the best-looking game, but then you have to look at the scope of the game.
Exactly.
They made the game very linear. I'm not saying there isn't any open areas, but the open areas are not very open. Right. And they did that on purpose, obviously, because they wanted to keep you on the path of the story, but I think they were also going for the best-looking game for this generation.
Right.
So in order to accomplish that, they had to keep it small. With that being said, a game like Uncharted 4 to me is more impressive than like the Order 1886, because I feel like they've hit the Order's visuals. Like, I think they're at the same level.
Agreed.
And they've done that while making the game more open. Now, it's not open world, but it's definitely open areas. Like, it's very much inspired by, like, The Last of Us, which, and it's probably even, now that I say that, it's probably even more open than The Last of Us. But there's a lot of inspiration from The Last of Us and the design of the world. And so anyways, I just wanted to add that not only is the game visually impressive, the scope of it, while being that visually and impressive, is even more, and I'm going to say it again, impressive.
Yeah, and that really is. That's the theme. That's the name of our podcast now.
Uncharted, impressive.
It's completely stunning. And the thing, again, to keep comparing it to the Order 1886, because, and I think it's a good comparison, they're both third-person cover-based shooters. They both are character-driven. They both have incredible character models and their facial expressions. Yeah. The technology on the faces in both of these games is crazy. But like you said, the difference is Uncharted 4 is able to apply that to every area of the game, both in terms of the trees, the grass, the buildings, the AI. Everything that's actually happening on screen besides your character matches that excellence in terms of visuals. And you're right. Even if it's still a pretty linear game, and it is compared to a real open world game, it's not like an Assassin's Creed game where you can climb everywhere. It gives you a feeling of scope and of options and of multiple paths. And I'm still pretty early in the game. So far I haven't experienced a ton of what I would feel like is options and how to approach a lot of stuff. But that being said, I have not once felt confined like I did with something like one of the early Uncharted's, for example, or with The Order. So it's quite an achievement just in terms of the technical aspects. It's very smooth, and I really, really like it. I will say this, though. The shooting itself, this is going to be the one sticking area for certain people with this game. The shooting itself is about the same, maybe mildly improved, but about the same if you played Uncharted, especially 2 and 3. I think it's roughly the same experience. You hide behind cover, you pop out, and try to aim at them real quick. Do you feel like it controls kind of the same?
Well, when I was listening, when I started playing 4, I felt like, and again, I could be wrong because I could be remembering things wrong, I felt like 4 felt better. Like, the actual guns felt better. I know Sasan is one of them that he's not a big fan of Uncharted's gunplay. He makes fun of it all the time about how it feels like he's shooting like a Nerf gun or BB guns. And he's right. I mean, for Uncharted, he's 100% right.
Yeah.
But I feel like some of these guns, like the pistols and stuff like that, actually feel like they have a little bit of weight. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say they're the best feeling shooter, but they still have definitely a better weight and feel to them. But overall, the gameplay is very, very similar.
Yeah.
The melee combat's similar.
Right.
The big change is, again, inspired by The Last of Us, they give you the option in this open area to actually, and they, and I, to be honest, they really encourage it. So this is the big change for me, and maybe you noticed it, maybe you didn't, from Uncharted 1, 2, and 3 to Uncharted 4, and that is, they really emphasis on, hey player, you can do it like you did in the first three, or you could go stealth.
Yeah, I was going to say
so
stealth.
So they give you these open areas, and they give you a ton of people to kill. Like, I'm right now, and this isn't a spoiler, so I'm not even going to be descriptive at all, but I'm in an area right now where, well, I actually just got done with it, where you're put in this situation where there's about 10 to 12 guys, and I've got to take them all down, and the game hints, I mean, even one of the characters says, we better be careful how we handle this, basically. Yeah. Because they're like, oh, don't just shoot at the first guy you see, because if you do, you're going to have 12 guys throwing grenades at you and shooting at you. And I did try that. At first, I was like, well, you know how I am, run and gun, let's do this. And I got annihilated, like, four times in a row. And then I tried to be a little bit smarter, and I started playing it more like how I would play The Last of Us. And again, don't anybody take that out of context. I'm not saying Uncharted 4 is The Last of Us 2. It's not. It just has some obvious takes from The Last of Us.
Yeah, from The Last of Us, and maybe even from like from Tomb Raider, and even a game like Far Cry, where you can tag your enemies. That's a huge tool in a stealth game, to be able to tag your enemies to keep track of where they are. And that's even that little that little addition. It's nothing new. They're not breaking any new ground there. It still is. It changes the way you approach a game like Uncharted.
Exactly, because like The Last of Us, you could hold down. And I don't remember the button. It was like either, I think it was L2.
You held down L2, where they are.
And you sense, like you could hear their movements. They don't have that in this game because, again, this isn't primary. It's not stealth. It's still an Uncharted game. They just give you the option. Mm-hmm. So I think the way to combat that, instead of having you, Nathan all of a sudden be able to hear really, really well, they did that by going, hey, lift your head up, look around, tag these guys, and then you can track them. So when you are trying to do stealth, or even when you're in chaotic combat, because the area is so much bigger and there's so much more areas for people to hide, you can still track them.
Yeah.
So it's a good add. I like it. I haven't been using it enough, and I should.
Yeah. Well, they even have like the little meter over their heads, like a lot of these games do. Like, think of games like Hitman, where it kind of gives you an idea that they notice some movement and their little bar starts to fill up, and then it turns yellow when they're suspicious, and then kind of an orange or red when they see you. And it's pretty, you know, it's pretty standard in these kind of third-person action stealth games. You know, Assassin's Creed employs an interface like that. So, but I like that. I like that they're adding some of those elements that I really enjoy from the other games, while still, it still in general maintains that Uncharted feeling of that still adventurous. It's lighthearted but adventurous. There's lots of gun battles, but like you said, it's like they're giving you another way to approach it, although I'm sure there's plenty of sections to come in the game where you have to shoot your way through. That's my guess, that you can't stealth. Yeah. It's not going to be like Dishonored where you can stealth through the entire thing. But yeah, so that part of it's really fun. And then in general, I would say the story, just for me so far, it's much more impactful than past stories. I'll just leave it at that. It's a much more personal story, much less of a... it's much less national treasure. And a lot more, I'm trying to think of what to compare it to. It's just got more of a personal touch. It's not strictly another carbon copy from 1, 2, or 3.
I really feel like, and this is a credit to Naughty Dog, and again, not very far in the game, I'm only in Chapter 8, I really feel like I'm playing a movie. And they've done it better than The Order did it. And I like The Order.
Yeah.
Anybody who's listened to me or even seen me talk about The Order on Facebook at all knows I have nothing but good things to say about that game, even though it got crapped on. I played it three times, loved it. But I feel like that Uncharted 4, the quality, not only of the cutscenes, cutscenes don't even feel like cutscenes.
Well, that's because they're not. They're like all rendered within the game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It feels like part of the game. Like, it never shifts from, amazing graphics to a little bit less amazing graphics.
No, it's just all of a sudden you're controlling them. Yeah, it's crazy.
Exactly. Everything looks amazing. Yeah. It's all smooth. The acting is probably the highest caliber acting I've ever seen in a game. And Quantum Break did a pretty good job. They did a good job of creating an actual show into this type of game.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a good job. But even this is higher level than that to me. Again, I'd like to see how the story plays out, how they do this. But overall, I mean, I'm more blown away by... I already had high expectations. So to be able to play the little bit I've played and not be like, well, it's okay, is kind of surprising. Because I really did have high expectations for this game, and I feel like it's completely surpassed it all. Mm. And I've only seen... I think I only watched one trailer. Like, the game got announced, I saw, like, a trailer, and then I went on, like, a strike where I was like, I'm not gonna look at anything. I don't want to see anything about this game.
Yep.
So I think I did a good job of protecting myself.
Yeah, same here.
But I still had, like... You know, I'd seen pictures and stuff like that, and I was like, I know this game's going to be gorgeous, but it actually surpassed my thoughts at all that it was going to be. So.
Yep, same here, and I'm loving it. And you know what, let's leave it at that. We'll come back with maybe further thoughts. I'm sure even next week when we get to the sixth console generation of games, we'll also touch on just how much more we're enjoying it after another week of playing it.
Well, I mean, if we do the spoiler cast, I think we can dive into it for 20 or 30 minutes and just literally tear everything down.
Yep, it's really good. Last thing I'll say about it, my favorite scene so far involves a couch, and it's just my favorite scene, and it's got zero shooting. It's just so good. It's one of the better character moments I've seen in any video game ever. Just the interaction is just so great. It's so great.
Agreed.
All right, so let's talk about a few just kind of quick hits from the news. I wasn't really planning on covering news, but there's been a few big things that have happened since we last chatted, and I wanted to make sure we had a chance to give our thoughts on them. So I just grabbed four of the big stories. Some of them are really discussion-worthy. Others are, you'll see. They're a little bit more of a public service announcement. So the first one is very relevant, I think, to our listeners. We've talked about this before. We've discussed this in our Facebook group. And it's really sad news for most of us, and that is that Disney Infinity is being discontinued and the developers being shuttered with nearly 300 jobs lost. And that's official. That's not a rumor. That's not something that just sounded, you know, slowly floated out. The news started to trickle out. No, that is an official announcement, and it's done. It announced it in its earnings report. And
I'm really surprised by this. I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not... Okay. I like Disney Infinity. I felt like I sounded like Trump there, like I cut myself off. Okay, all right. Anyways, I support Disney Infinity. I buy it every year, and I play a little bit of it. I won't say, like, I'm a diehard fan. In fact, the only one that I've really actually enjoyed the gameplay is the last one that just came out with Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
But I really felt like this franchise was selling amazingly, and I'm guessing I'm way off, or either that or their budget is way bigger than what they sell, because it has actually impacted Skylanders used to be the king, and from what I've heard, Skylanders has dropped off the last two times they're struggling to sell their stuff,
right?
Because Disney Infinity was basically replacing it.
Yeah, so yeah. Activision's been pretty open about that too. Like, hey, Skylanders is kind of struggling. Yeah, they've said that.
Yeah, so I'm really surprised that this is. I wouldn't have been shocked if, like, Activision came out and said, "Hey, we're no longer going to make Skylanders games, or we're going to do something smaller or something like that to try to build it up."
Yeah, which would either lead to something with Amiibo maybe going away, or the opposite. Maybe Nintendo steps up and finally puts together some sort of adventure, family-friendly style game for the Amiibo or something. You know.
Well, you know what? I think Nintendo's one that could survive, just because, and this is why another reason why I'm surprised about Disney Infinity. But I think Nintendo could survive on the Amiibos, meaning they won't, like, get discontinued or stopped because there's such a love for Nintendo characters.
True. But
that's where the shock is with Disney Infinity.
There's love for those characters, too. I mean,
exactly. The only thing I can think of is maybe Disney Infinity released too many of them. Because if you look at their lineup, they've got so many characters. And not all of them are very popular.
Yeah.
But they all cost money to make. So they may have screwed up in that area. Whereas Nintendo, as we are all very well aware of, if you try to buy Amiibos at all, they made theirs very scarce. They didn't come out and say, hey, we're going to make 1 billion versions of this character. They came out and said, basically, it felt like we're making 1,000, which that's an exaggeration, but that's what it felt like.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I'm really shocked by this. I felt like it was selling good, and for them to come out and say, hey, not only are we not doing very well, we're doing so bad that we're shutting it all down.
Well, and there's a statement that I'm going to read from one of the chairmen of Disney Interactive over there. But just so you know, for those of you who own Disney Infinity 3.0, which, by the way, just as a side note, I am a recent purchaser of 3.0 when it went on sale. And I'm all excited about it. I even bought another controller. I bought it for Xbox One. So we'll still play it and enjoy it. It's not like we can no longer have fun with it. It's just kind of a bummer right after you buy into something. And it's probably about to all go on a deep clearance that I just bought it. But that being said, I should be able to get a lot of the figures on the cheap, I hope, at some point. Or it's going to be the opposite. They'll skyrocket in price. We'll find out.
Well, probably the playsets, too. There's a lot of quality playsets out there.
So, I mean, if I get lucky, maybe like Target or Walmart or some of these bigger stores will throw them on their clearance shelves at some point here in the near future. We'll see. But yeah, they did say, let's see, they do have two more retail releases coming. So even though there's no full, 4.0 version of the game coming anymore, or any other version of it coming, they do have three new characters from Alice Through the Looking Glass. It's coming later this month here in May to coincide with the movie. And then in June to coincide with Pixar's Finding Dory movie, they're going to have that playset launch in June. And then they're done. That's it. So there's a few more playsets coming, but that's basically it. So here's what Jimmy Pitaro, he is the Disney Consumer Products and Interactive Media Chairman. It's a long title.
Yep.
He says, after a thorough evaluation, we have modified our approach to console gaming and will transition exclusively to a licensing model. This shift in strategy means we'll cease production of Disney Infinity, where the lack of growth, it's interesting, in the toys to life market, coupled with high development costs, has created a challenging business model. And that was interesting to me. We just talked about Skylanders, talked about Amiibo. There's even Lego Dimensions that we didn't even mention yet. But he's saying there's a lack of growth in the toys to life market. So maybe there's numbers out there that despite how we see it, like, hey, these are popular, they're on the shelves everywhere, maybe the sales aren't reflecting the way we look at it.
But maybe it's one of those, like, Rock Band and Guitar Hero and all that.
Yeah.
They had, these big moments, and then it got flooded with too many games of the same thing over and over.
Right.
In this situation, it would be too many games plus too many characters.
Right.
Like, for instance, I bought Skylanders in the beginning. I stopped because I was like, I don't care about any of these characters anymore, and it's the same game over and over. Mm-hmm. And in fact, this last one actually looked the most interesting and actually looked like they kind of changed things a little bit with Superchargers, but I was so done with it, I was like, I don't even care. I didn't even buy it.
Yep. Yep, but the interesting thing he mentions there is they're transitioning exclusively to a licensing model, which is what Disney's been in the past in some cases. And so it'll be interesting to see, not necessarily with Toys to Life, but what Disney properties will now be taken over by partner developers of some kind. Like, who will they license out their IP to? So that'll be interesting to see if anything develops there. But for right now, it's not time for that discussion. It's time to simply mourn the loss of a very cool franchise in Disney Infinity. So, but I'm not going to be all down about it. I just bought Disney Infinity 3.0, the starter pack. I plan on buying some additional play sets and figures, and we're going to completely enjoy it as a family. Like, there's no reason to be like, well, kids, they're done making these. There's still plenty of to enjoy there.
I think your kids will really enjoy, I don't know if they're huge Star Wars fans, but if they are, the Star Wars play sets are really well done.
They look amazing,
They're good. I mean, again, another reason why I'm not really sad is the only thing I've cared about, like, really cared about in Disney Infinity and I'm not a Star Wars fanboy, but it has been Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
And with...
What about Marvel, though? Did Marvel do it for you?
Not really. And part of that might have been just because the gameplay and Disney Infinity 2.0 was slow and boring.
Okay.
But what I was going to say is there's so many great Star Wars games coming. We talked about one yesterday that Respawn's making.
Mm-hmm.
There's another Battlefront.
Battlefront
2
is coming in 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much Star Wars. I really think a Knights of the Old Republic 3 is going to be around the corner. I'm not saying in the next 6 months or anything,
but it'll come.
I think
yeah.
we're going to hear about it in the next couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. It's not the happiest of news, but it certainly is worth mentioning and talking about. So if any of you out there are looking to offload some of these figures or playsets, make sure you hit me up on Facebook, because I think we would to us it would still be new and fun. So I will buy them from you. That's all I'm saying. All right. There's another piece of news that came out about two really big franchises. The biggest first-person franchises, I think, at least cross-platform-wise. You've got Battlefield, but that's almost always going to play second fiddle to Call of Duty. And both of them in recent weeks have released trailers for their new games that are both dropping this fall. Battlefield 1 is a World War I setting. We'll get to that in a minute. And Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. Did I get that right? Infinite Warfare?
Yeah.
That is a futuristic setting. I don't know. Is it actually in space? Did I see that correctly?
Yeah, I heard. I've literally watched nothing on these two, but I watched the Battlefield trailer, but I didn't watch anything for Call of Duty.
I did the exact same thing. I was hoping you watched the Call of Duty trailer. I didn't even want to watch it, because I was like, oh, it looks like Advanced Warfare again.
Yeah, and I heard some people talking about how it was going to be, there was going to be space battles. I even saw a meme saying something like, Call of Duty has space battles, but this game doesn't, and it was like a picture of Battlefront. They were making fun of the fact that
that's pretty. That's right. That's right. That was a big complaint. That's right.
So I don't care about either one of these. And okay. And I've said this a few shows back.
You're never buying one of these before again.
Yeah. Yeah. I said never gonna buy them again, except Titanfall 2. That one's gonna be a day one.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but that trailer for Battlefield 1. Has piqued my interest, so you may have access to it whether you want it or not. So,
and you know what? If you actually play it, I might be like, hey, that's my friend Tim. I play with Tim. But you know what? Here's the thing. Tim does Tim.
Yeah.
So Tim gets these games, and we're going to play them together, and Tim plays Rocket League.
Yeah, that's what Tim does. It's true. That is true.
Oh, by the way, let me just say this.
Yeah.
I've retired from Rocket League. I made an announcement on Facebook. Yes, I have. I'm done with the game. It's time to move on. I've got too many other games, and Rocket League is done. So I just want to make sure everybody understands that.
You have not retired from Rocket League. We'll pull you right back in. Battlefield 1 looks very interesting. The World War I setting is a unique one for a first-person shooter, mainly because the type of war that it was. But we won't dig into that too much. I'm curious to see more about that as time goes on. And so we'll see. I'm not saying it's a day one purchase or anything, but I'm definitely more interested in the Battlefield franchise than I have been in a long time. That's never
been my
case. I
just don't want to buy games for, you know, and we're about ready to talk about this in the next story, but I don't want to buy first-person shooters for online purposes anymore, because it's let me down, because I don't have the interest.
Yeah.
Like, we talked about how I bought Call of Duty day one last year because I was like, okay, I'm sold on it because
the co-op.
Call of Duty games generally have decent to good single-player campaigns. Now, they're getting old. Like, I can't even finish them anymore because I get so bored with them. But the last one intrigued me because I was like, oh, it's four-player co-op. It's a little bit more open. Now we're talking. I buy it, I play it one time with you, and I'm like, I just don't even want to play this game.
You know what's interesting? You just said that boring. Call of Duty games get boring, and I don't disagree with that at all, because I also lost interest. But it's just interesting that games that are so loud and flashy and explosive, with people yelling, and it's crazy experiences, how those games, and they somehow feel boring when it's too much of that for too long. And so I'm totally with you. They can feel boring, especially if you're not in the mood for that kind of thing. But it's interesting because nothing about the action in there should be boring. It's just we've seen it before with Call of Duty.
Too much, yeah.
All right, so let's talk about another... You already referenced this a little bit. There's a couple of multiplayer first-person games that... one of them already came out. The other one's got a few betas that have been running and will launch in a few weeks. And that is Battleborn and Overwatch. And I know that people don't always like the comparison because they are very different games. I realize that.
They really, really are.
But the similarities are enough. Everything from the colorful characters to the fact that it's a well-known developer with a great track record. Those things combined, the fact that it's mainly a multiplayer-centric shooting game makes the comparison worthwhile, even though they do have a lot of differences. So it's just interesting that here we are in this month of May. We have big releases like Uncharted 4 and Doom, but we also have these two brand new IPs from well-liked developers, Gearbox and Blizzard. And Battleborn and Overwatch are fighting for gamers' attention this month. So let me ask you two things. I did not play the Overwatch beta, but I did play a little bit of Battleborn, the opening of it, the prologue. And you've played Battleborn, you've played the beta for Overwatch. Just give me your general thoughts, number one, how you feel about each, but also how you think each one will do, maybe not with sales, but which one will be the one that gamers in general like more?
Okay, my overall opinion of Battleborn is... I like it, but I would prefer to play with somebody. Unfortunately, the only person that I'm aware of that... Well, there's two people. There's two people that I'm aware of that have it that I could play with. Neither one of them will play it. Sasan. I don't even think he listens to our show. But I gotta call him out.
That's the guy twice. He's gotten two shout-outs. We're gonna have to tag him.
The guy drives me freaking nuts. So anyways, I say I'm gonna buy Battleborn, and Sasan's a lot like me. Like, we just like to buy games. It doesn't really matter if we're gonna play them. We're just like, oh yeah,
that is the game. Buying the games is the game. Yeah.
it really is. Yeah. So the funny part is Sasan's like, yeah, I think I'm gonna buy that Overborn game or something like that. He doesn't even know the name of it. He's just like, I'm gonna go buy it. So then he goes and buys
Overborn,
it.
Overborn, is that what he said? I just now heard that, just registered. Overborn, Battlewatch, whatever.
So he's like, yeah, I got Battlewatch or Paragon. I don't know which one I got. I'm like, all right, first of all, you got Battleborn.
I've got so much money, I can't keep track.
Exactly. I was like, you got Battleborn, let's play it. Show up Friday night. Never shows up. So I've been playing it by myself. The game is good. Here's my issue with it. I played the beta. I played like a couple hours of the beta. I played two missions, two main story missions. There's only 8 in the full retail game. Now, I think the season pass will probably offer more, but for right now, if you pay the $60, you get 8 story missions.
But it's mainly multiplayer, isn't that what it's for?
Yeah. And I'll get into that in a second. But I played the beta. I have no problem beating these story missions. The two that I played, I beat both of them multiple times. Never failed the mission.
Okay.
Now, you can play public multiplayer, like co-op, I should say. And that's how I play it now in the full retail. I've played at least 8 missions. Now, I haven't played a lot because I've been focusing on Dark Souls 3 and Uncharted 4. But I've played 8 missions. I have failed 7 times. I've only succeeded on one mission.
That's frustrating.
Since this game is launched. It's very frustrating. So that is another reason why I want to play with somebody, because I'm like, oh my god, I need to communicate with somebody, because it's really easy to fail in this game. You can think you're winning, and then all of a sudden the enemy destroys what you're protecting.
Because people get too overzealous and start chasing the enemy down.
Exactly. Yeah. They start chasing the enemy and they leave the base. Mm-hmm. So it is a really good game. It is really heavy on co-op. Yes, you can play with randoms and succeed. I'm probably just getting bad luck, or maybe I'm the problem with the game. I don't know.
And just for some context for the listeners, Battleborn was developed by Gearbox, and they're the ones who created Borderlands, as well as many other games in their history. They've done a lot of games. But
Borderlands is inspired by Borderlands.
Most recently. And the writing, the characters, even the narrator, very Borderlands, you know, handsome Jack sounding. And there's nothing really wrong with that. I like the personality in there. I like that it's a brand new setting. It's pretty creative, and you know, I see what they're trying to do with some of the lore. I don't feel like I have zero interest in it. It's just one of those things that literally in the hours leading up to the Uncharted 4 game becoming available, I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I fired it up and did the prologue, and then it was time for Uncharted 4. So it wasn't a conscious decision to, nah, I don't like it, I won't play it. It was just kind of like a nice way to fill the time. Kind of felt like Borderlands a little bit, even though it wasn't the Borderlands that I've come to know and love. It was okay. It was good. So I'd be up for trying some co-op, but it certainly didn't make me think. It certainly wouldn't have made me buy it, just that experience.
Yeah.
So
I've enjoyed it. It's good. Now, comparing it to Overwatch, Overwatch actually really does feel completely different.
Yeah, people are loving that game.
Yeah, Overwatch is really dependent on multiplayer. I think I said it in the last show. I may have said it in the last show. The only thing single-player-ish is you can play against bots. So everything is really multiplayer. There's no single-player campaign. There's no real co-op. I think, and I could be wrong, because I've had conversations with, like, Jesse and Rob Ronaldo. They wanted to know, well, yeah, Ronaldo. I always call him Ronaldo.
Right, you're a soccer fan. Ronaldo. We'll forgive it.
Okay. But anyway, so what I was going to say is, Overwatch has, I think, where you can pair up and co-op against bots.
Okay.
Which is pretty cool. Yeah. You know, if you want to just get a team of 4 or 5 guys and be like, look, I don't want to get frustrated because we know we're going to get wrecked online. Let's just play some bots. If you can do that, awesome.
Well, I think there might be enough people playing this game when it comes out that, depending on how they do their matchmaking, I can't imagine that every game would be against MLG pros, you know what I mean? I think there would be plenty of opportunity to play against some evenly matched players, assuming Blizzard has their stuff together.
Really good players.
I'm just saying, if the matchmaking is what it should be for a game like this, you won't get constantly matched up, you know, overmatched like that, but who knows?
I hope not. I played the beta, got wrecked a lot.
Are you going to buy this game? Did you already buy it?
I already bought it on the Xbox One because I had a credit, and so that was the only game that was available for pre-order that I was semi-interested in.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, give it a shot. I played the beta. I really liked it. It sold me on, yes, I think this is going to be, even though it's multiplayer only, and even though it's a first-person shooter, I like the characters. Same thing with Battleborn. I like the characters. It's almost like feels like you're playing a first-person fighting game, meaning like all the characters have their own paranoia. Have their own personal styles.
Sure.
They have their own set of moves and special abilities. Both Battleborn and Overwatch have that big time. Both are very different from each other while having some, like you said, similarities. So I think they're both going to be good. Yeah. I think the last question I think you've asked is which one's going to be most successful. Hands down, Overwatch.
Yeah.
I think Overwatch is going to not only destroy Battleborn, I think it's going to end up destroying every game in May except maybe Uncharted 4.
Yeah, Uncharted 4, the reports, early reports coming out are that it sold 3.8 million in its first day. I don't know if that's accurate or not, but that's insane if that's the case.
And I'm sure it'll sell another million or two by Friday because that's when most people get paid.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean Overwatch wouldn't beat it, but that would be tough as an end of the month.
Well, and it's a good and it's a fair comparison. Like people will look at it and go, it was mentioned, you know, Uncharted's coming out May 10th. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about just May numbers. Overwatch is coming out May 24th. That's a two-week difference in May.
Right.
But Overwatch is also PC, Xbox One, PS4.
Yeah.
Uncharted 4, even though it's on the biggest console, it's still only PS4.
Yeah.
So I still think Overwatch is going to have a huge PC base. I think Overwatch could sell millions and millions in the first week.
Well, the thing is, that is not the only multiplayer shooter that's out this month. You also have Doom, which we didn't really talk about. But you've got three big-budget, well-developed, like really well-put-together AAA games that are all dropping in 1 month. And again, all three of those games are very different from each other in tone and in visuals and the way they feel, I'm sure. But there are still online multiplayer shooting games. I mean, there's still first-person shooters.
I think Battleborn made a mistake. Like, I think 2K should have pushed this one to June or July.
It would have been a brilliant July release, I'll bet. Probably would have been a brilliant July release.
They should have let Overwatch and Doom have May. Because even though Doom is going to have, I think, a pretty solid multiplayer fan base.
Yeah, people seem to like it.
I think most people, and this isn't just from our group. I know a lot of people in our group are buying it for this reason. But Doom was big because people like the campaign. Yeah. And I still think that's why people are buying Doom.
Well, and the bottom line is, Doom is back. I mean, it's a franchise that people have loved for years. It's the franchise that introduced a lot of people to gaming back on the PC or maybe the Super Nintendo. So it's exciting for fans of the franchise, without a doubt, whereas games like Overwatch and Battleborn are brand new. So that'll be interesting, actually, to see how things shape up in terms of sales. But yeah, Battleborn and Overwatch, two very unique IPs. It's interesting that they're releasing so close to each other, and I agree with you. Blizzard had nothing to fear from Battleborn, so 2K maybe just strategically should have considered an earlier or later release, but it is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I would have. Once I saw all the release dates, I would have been like, oh, we are going to have a delay, and this game's going to come out in June or July. Kind of like, in you know, at the time, I was disappointed, but now that I'm staring at May and going, OMG, there's way too many games. Mirror's Edge got pushed back a couple weeks.
Yep.
And again, Mirror's Edge doesn't play like any of these games we're talking about, but Mirror's Edge is a game that's not going to sell itself in the high numbers just by announcing, hey, Mirror's Edge is coming out.
Right.
You might get a million copies sold over a few months, but I really don't think it's going to blow up. So it was really, really smart of EA to go, hey,
let's move.
May is extremely crowded.
Yeah, yeah.
And gamers like to buy their game. You know, there's a lot of Sasans out there and Derricks out there that like to buy their games every couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So if we push this one into June, maybe Sasan and Derrick will get bored and be like, oh, God, I ain't got nothing to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's buy Mirror's Edge.
No, I think it was a great choice, too. I mean, the only competition in June that I can think of is No Man's Sky, and that's just a vastly different experience than Mirror's Edge. So, yeah, probably a good call for them to move that back. But, yeah, Battleborn and Overwatch will be an interesting thing to monitor this month, and I'm curious to see how they both shake out. And, you know what? I will play Battleborn with you. We'll try some co-op on there. I can't guarantee that I'll jump into Dark Souls 3 sometime this month. That might have to wait a little longer. But Battleborn, yeah, let's do that. Let's jump into that next time we're both.
Yeah, on. I think it's a fun game. Yeah. Every time I jump in, I have fun. Yeah. I just get frustrated. I fail. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm out. This is so freaking annoying.
Let's do that. Let's play that. Last little piece of news I wanted to share with you guys. More of a public service announcement, really, than news to discuss. But Nintendo is dropping the price of its 2DS system, which is a very kid-friendly version of their 3DS line, to $80. So for $79.99, you can get a brand new 2DS. I think they have red and blue are the color options. And it comes with Mario Kart 7 pre-installed already. So it comes with the game.
Yeah, it's a pretty good deal.
So it's a great deal. It's a good way to start thinking towards maybe Christmas time even. I know it's a little early, but start saving up those Christmas presents for the kiddos. So there you go. The 2DS price is now down to $80. So Derek, I like to think that we're pretty smart dudes. And one thing that I think that we've been lax on is sharing all this wisdom that we've gained over the years, both in terms of life, family, and gaming, of course, most importantly. So what I want to do from time to time, not every week, is I want to share the fact that fathers know best. In this case, us. We know best.
Of course.
And so whether our listeners want to submit a question about a dilemma they're facing in their life, maybe in a game, maybe it's with their family, maybe at work, submit your questions and we will shower you with wisdom because fathers know best.
All right, before we start this whole segment, I just want to make sure you understand that you understand that when this show releases on Monday, I expect no later than Tuesday morning for there to be a tweet notification telling us this segment is trash and that you need to throw it in the garbage. I just want to make sure you understand that.
Don't worry. If no one responds to it at all, if no one ever submits a question, I'll submit a bunch of fake questions. It'll be fine. It'll be fine.
Okay. I just want to make sure you understand. I mean, I don't know if you know who's going to tweet that.
I have an idea. But... I have an idea. Mm-hmm. His name rhymes with Crank Flark. That's what his name rhymes with. Yeah.
Crank Flark. Yeah, he is a cranky bastard.
So, all right, so let me ask you this, and actually this question goes out to the community as well. This is one of those things that we all deal with in any type of game where you get to pick your stats that you want to upgrade. If you've been given 2 ability points to spend, and you have the areas of strength, defense, speed, or intelligence to put those ability points in, where should you focus or put those ability points?
All right, so this is my chance to talk about Dark Souls 3.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. By the way, game of the year. Game of the year. For me, you know, playing a strength character like I am right now, I'd put at least 1 point in strength and the other one in defense.
Boring.
Yeah, I mean, it covers all your bases. Think about it. Like, speed, all right, speed's great, but it's not going to get you out. It's not going to help you succeed, not in Dark Souls. You need strength to carry your shield and to swing your huge, heavy sword. And you need defense to protect yourself while your strength is still providing offense. Speed, intelligence, who needs to be smart to swing a sword? Really? Nobody does. So, clearly, strength and defense are the winners.
So you split them up. You've got 2 to spend for right now. Of course, you'll earn later because you're MLG and you'll keep earning more ability points. But
of course.
To get things started, you'll split them up. So, this is something that over the years, whether it's a simpler game like Castle Crashers or a more in-depth game, a more in-depth RPG with lots of stats to choose from, I have developed a habit of really focusing in on one main ability line, sometimes with a small secondary one right behind it. So in this case, if I decided that I wanted a magic user, I would just go completely intelligence and just throw it in there and just throw caution to the wind, realize that I'm going to be very fragile and I'm not going to be able to hit very hard with melee, but I'm going to throw it all in intelligence and just try to, you know, kite around and throw my magic at him. If I'm going to go with strength, then I'm going to put both of them in strength. Because if I start throwing them in the defense as well, what does that buy me? Maybe a couple more seconds before I die? No, I'm going to throw them all in strength to make sure that my hits are getting as much as they can. And if the game's worth its salt, it's got some kind of a dodge or a parry option anyway. So yeah, I'm going to go with either strength, both of them in strength, or intelligence. And if you made me pick one of those two, I'd pick both in strength. That's usually the way to go.
I mean, that's why you suck at Dark Souls.
Maybe that's why. See, the thing about defense, and I'm not about Dark Souls here, let's forget about that. But the thing about defense in these games, and I've done this before. I'll use the example of Castle Crashers again. I've gone with all defense to start, and all that does is it just allows you to live longer, but you still can't beat the enemies. So you still don't really have that much of an advantage. It still is just as difficult. Each of the little tiny mobs, the little trash mobs, they're still tough to get through because, yeah, they can't really hurt you, but you also can't do much in terms of damage. So defense, to me, is a secondary one to build up later. And that was boring, too. No one wants defense. It's boring. The only time I would focus on defense is if I'm playing some kind of multiplayer game, especially if it's an MMO, and I decide if I'm teaming up with a friend or two, and I am designated as the tank, then sure, I'll go all defense, you know. But otherwise, strength it is. So there you go.
I'm right.
Well, yeah, you're probably right. So if any of you have questions you want to ask us, whether it's general gaming questions like that, and again, maybe it's family advice. I know that during our listener-focused episode a few episodes ago, we had some questions that I think we did a great job sharing our wisdom with some of those. So if you've got one you want to submit, send it our way. We'd love to answer it. So one of the things that has come to my attention with this release of Uncharted 4 is the fear of spoilers. And I understand it. I've actually been the kind of person who is trying to avoid spoilers myself for certain games, certain movies, even certain TV shows. But I feel like it is the kind, it's thrown around so often, we've almost forgot what the word spoiler even means. So what I want to do is I want us to talk about, to start things off, what is a spoiler? What constitutes a spoiler? Before we get into, you know, our experience with them in the past, what makes a spoiler a spoiler?
I mean, technically anything's a spoiler. If you reveal anything at all that you didn't know prior, Like, if I reveal something about a game or a movie or something that you didn't know ahead of time, I'm spoiling it for you. The issue is, spoilers are, it's getting kind of ridiculous. And I understand this comes down to personal opinions and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but, for instance, you know, Uncharted 4 was a big release.
Yeah.
There were people that didn't want to even see screenshots of it. Now, I understand if you see... again, I blocked out trailers and stuff like that.
To be fair, I skipped most of the screenshots, too, and I continue to until I beat it. Just so you know, like, I don't hold any ill will for someone who posts them, because I know you posted some just to share how pretty the game is. But I do scroll right past that stuff, just because I don't want a chance seeing something.
And that's smart. Yeah. And that's the thing. I think the biggest issue that... now we're going to get into, like, a society issue here.
Uh-oh.
But the biggest issue we have is people want to share things, and then other people don't want to see what you're sharing for fear of spoilers. Instead of those people taking responsibility of, hey, if I don't want to see something, then I need to guard myself.
Yeah.
Kind of like you. You may have had an interest to be like, oh, I kind of want to see what Derek posted, like, screenshots, because he's really interesting, and everything he posts, like, I'm intrigued by, and I want to like it.
He's got immaculate taste in everything he posts, and I must...
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
But you were like, you know what? I have this rule inside that I have to follow. Like, I wanted to watch the trailers. I wanted to see stuff. But I was like, is it worth it? Let me just experience the game. So I understand from that perspective, people that are like, don't post screenshots. I want to experience the game. Cool. Awesome. Don't look on Facebook. That doesn't mean you don't have to go on Facebook. That means if you see anything that remotely looks like Uncharted, don't stop.
No, and you can always unfollow people that you know are playing it, or groups if you're part of a group. Yeah. Yeah.
I know Frank posted about this, and he even said it, and I thought it was a great thing that he said. He said, certain people are posting stuff I don't like, I unfollowed them.
Yeah.
He didn't mean that in, like, I don't like them anymore,
yeah,
I hate them.
It's actually good advice to other people who might be saying stuff. Yeah.
I took it as he was saying, look, out of fear of you running something I don't want ruined, I'm going to just unfollow you.
Yeah.
And that's how he took responsibility. Now, he did ask for people to just be respectful, which is great. You know, we should be respectful. But at the same time, I think we're living in a society where everything is now a spoiler, and we need to care about how everybody feels.
Well,
I want
to bring it back to that original question. What constitutes a spoiler? And not to get overly academic here, but the word spoiler comes from the word spoil, which means something is ruined. And this is going to be kind of subjective in some ways, but I think there are some objective things we can look at here. Like, what actually makes a story or an experience good? There could be a valid argument that a certain visual experience, whether it's a screenshot or a video clip or something like that, could give you that feeling that you spoiled the experience. Possibly. I could see that argument, although... to me, if it's a spoiler, it has actually spoiled the experience. You cannot now enjoy it because of what you found out. It has been spoiled. Just like food gets spoiled. You can't enjoy it now. There's nothing. You can't just take part of that food. If you open up your milk and your milk is spoiled, it's not like part of that milk down at the bottom is going to be okay. Like, it's now completely ruined. And so it's the same thing with a TV show, movie, or a game. If it's been spoiled, you can no longer enjoy it. So I always looked at spoilers as bigger deals. So when Star Wars Episode 7 came out, then if someone would have revealed that big moment, there's a big moment in that movie. I don't know any of you that haven't seen this yet, so I don't know why I'm being so careful. But just in case, I don't want to ruin it for you. There is, of course, at least one, maybe two huge moments in that movie that would spoil the experience, because a lot of the movie builds up to that climactic moment. Same thing for a game. If there's a plot twist, if there's a good guy turned enemy by the end, if there's a death, then that could totally ruin your experience, because now you're just kind of waiting for that big moment to happen that you now know is going to happen. But just knowing that there's a scene where there's a really cool view or a vista or a city you'll be in, or even knowing if a character is present, it doesn't necessarily mean you now have a spoiled experience.
Alright, it won't spoil the entire experience, but to counter that, I would say, like, let's say, and I don't know, but I'm just going to make this up, let's say there was a certain character coming back in Uncharted that was not in any of the trailers, that wasn't in anything, right? And you don't even need context, you just know who that character is, and somebody posts a picture of it, well, that won't spoil the entire game for me, it might spoil my experience to a certain extent.
Right.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Like, I wouldn't go, well, this game is garbage now because it's been completely spoiled, but the impact of maybe a certain something that I saw, and I'll give it an example because this has actually happened to me twice, and once it just happened to me recently. Halo 4 was ruined for me because some jerk who I knew on the internet just decided to write out the ending and say, if you haven't played this game, it's your own fault. That was why he said it. And I was like, you're an ass clown, because I have had the game, I just haven't beat it. And I ended up beating it a few months later. But that was run for me, and yes, it 100% changed my experience.
But it was a major plot point, right? It wasn't like,
yes, yes.
It wasn't like, oh, you found out that there's a certain weapon that Master Chief's going to use.
Oh, of course, of course.
Like, it wasn't, even though that's a detail that maybe you wouldn't know had you not played the, you know what I mean? Like, there are details that can be revealed that aren't shown in trailers, aren't talked about in interviews, that someone else reveals, and you're like, hey, I didn't know that before this moment, and I would have found out if I had played. I guess you could make an argument that whatever that feeling would have been in that moment to finally discover, wow, I can use this weapon or this, drive this vehicle, that would have been a brand new feeling and you wouldn't have known about it. But does that really spoil the experience, especially of playing a game where the experience
it
comes down to the gameplay?
It doesn't spoil the entire game, mm-hmm. but it, and that was kind of, and I understand that my example was a major spoiler.
Yeah.
But my point was, is even though I still enjoyed the game, it was not technically ruined. It was still, there was still an impact. Like, I could have ended up walking away from that game going, oh my god, that was the greatest thing I've ever played. I could have, because of what just happened that I didn't see coming. But instead, I played the entire game going, this is gonna happen.
Mm.
And this sucks that I already know it. Now, the game's still damn good. Anytime I talk about Halo, I talk about how great it is. Fallout 4, same thing happened. The entire time I'm playing Fallout 4, I already know what's going to happen, so I'm waiting for it. Now, the game's still really good. Granted, Fallout 4 is way different than, like, Uncharted, and I say that because I don't play Fallout 4 to experience the story. I don't, even though I like it, I don't play it because I'm emotionally attached to characters. Uncharted, different story. I play it for fun, but I do play it because I have an attachment to the characters.
Mm-hmm.
I do care about the story. But what I was trying to say is, even though those are two major spoilers, they didn't technically ruin my entire game, but they did impact my overall experience.
Yeah.
And so what's happened is we now live in a society where everybody's scared to have any impact on a game.
Right.
And this is my going back to my point. Like, hey, I don't want anything, I don't want to see anything on Uncharted. I don't want to see it. And so when you say that, you're telling the entire world, basically, don't do this, because it'll impact my life negatively. Instead of taking personal responsibility to go, hey, I don't want anything being spoiled for this game.
Yeah.
So, anything that I see on it, I'm skipping.
All right,
or, if you think it's unsafe at all, I'm sorry, this may seem harsh or unfair, stay off Facebook.
Yeah.
Stay off the internet right. until you get what you're trying to get done.
Now, have you seen the new Captain America? Have you seen Civil War yet?
No.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. All right, well, I'll keep it kind of vague because some of our listeners might have not had a chance to see it either. It just came out last week. But there's a certain character that even in the trailers, a popular character that in the trailers showed is going to show up in this movie. And that was a big deal for a lot of people. Like, whoa, that just spoiled it, that he's going to be in there and whatever. You know, the argument went on. So there's a couple things there. Number one, could it have been incredibly impactful to go see K- Captain America versus Iron Man, and they each have their team, and then all of a sudden, boom, this very unexpected popular character shows up. Yeah, that could have been impactful, but the way it was marketed and the way the story was teased to get us to come watch it didn't fit that. They were okay with showing it to us, and I've seen the movie, and I see why they did that, because that character being involved in that movie is not at all meant to be a wow moment. It's just a really cool way they included this character in the story. And I think that's the same way with a lot of the stuff that we see. Again, whether it's a cool experience that happens in the game. Oh, wow, you get to use a grappling hook in this game. I didn't realize that. Or, like I said, driving a certain car, using a certain weapon, some kind of gameplay mechanic that they're including that maybe you wouldn't have known about otherwise. Those types of things, and maybe even a character that's in the game, I don't think it has to ruin your whole experience. I really don't. You said it didn't ruin your whole experience. I don't even think it has to impact it. It just really depends on what it is. Does it actually spoil your experience? So that word spoil is one I think people need to remember a lot more. Do you really think your time with that piece of entertainment, with that TV show, with that movie, with that game, do you really think it is now spoiled? Like, you cannot consume it and enjoy it at all anymore? Or do you think maybe you're upset at the idea that perhaps you are now going to miss out on some experience because you learned about it beforehand? And I feel like the word that comes to mind the most is paranoid. I think in our entertainment culture today, people are just paranoid about spoilers. And you've already shared a couple examples of games in particular, but are there any TV shows or movies that you have had spoiled?
Yeah, my pastor likes to spoil freaking every show that he watches. Like, there's like no thought process. Like he doesn't even ask me, where are you at in this? He just starts talking.
Yeah.
And stuff starts.
Well, give me some examples.
Out
what shows or what movies, without giving us the spoiler, like what shows or movies have you had kind of ruined or spoiled?
Well, he's spoiled The Walking Dead several times.
Yeah.
That one's happened to me
a couple of times too, yeah.
I better hurry up and watch Game of Thrones, because if I don't and I see him on Sunday, he'll spoil
it. Yeah,
that.
He'll let you know.
I know he will. He'll just be like, oh man, that one part, and I'm like, you want to ask if I watched it first?
Yeah.
You just want to ask that? Yeah. But I don't get mad, and this is part of my personality. I am way more laid back than most people. Like, even when he spoiled stuff for The Walking Dead, it wasn't like, well, Derek, you don't care about it. No, I did. I used to watch The Walking Dead a lot. But I was like, my friendship with him is more important than me freaking out and crying like a little baby because he accidentally spoiled something.
Well, yeah, because then every conversation turns into that. I don't know if you guys have seen this. There's a Key and Peele skit where it's two couples out to dinner, and none of them can finish a sentence because they might spoil whatever the topic is. Everything from movies, TV shows, to a new album, to the weather, they're all worried about having something spoiled. It's hilarious. And so then your conversations, as silly as that skit is, we become paranoid about whether it's being on social media or even just talking to people about things they've enjoyed. It's like, well, I want to share my thoughts on this, but I can't because you haven't seen it, so I guess we'll just sit here quietly. You know what I mean? And so that, I feel like we're a little overly paranoid about spoilers. And there's another follow-up question to this about why people like to spoil stuff for others. But before we get to that, I've had a few things spoiled here and there. I mean, The Walking Dead season 2, I had the end of that spoiled just because I decided it was my own call to wait to play all those episodes until they were all released. And so I had a couple of key moments throughout that game spoiled for me, but it didn't really ruin my experience, I don't think. I did have Fallout 4 spoiled for me already, but believe it or not, that has not impacted my decision not to play it. I really don't care that I already kind of know the story. I want to be interested in playing the game itself, and I'm just not in that place to play that kind of game. So I've had a few things ruined here or there. There's a couple TV shows too, like the ending of Sons of Anarchy. Someone told me what happened there. There's a key moment right in the middle of the show of Dexter, right at the end of season 4. It's probably the biggest moment of that entire show. Totally had that spoiled, and it was still incredibly impactful.
I know everything about Dexter without ever watching the show.
Here's the thing. I think it's possible to still be impacted and still completely enjoy these pieces of entertainment, even if you know in broad strokes or specifically what's going to happen. It's possible to still enjoy it depending on how we approach it. If we are just sitting there, you know, all angry and mumbling and brooding that someone told us ahead of time, of course you're not going to enjoy it. But if you're able to still find entertainment and joy in the performance and the writing and the game mechanics and, you know, whatever it is that you're experiencing, then it can still be an enjoyable experience. So I don't think it needs to be a TV show, movie, or game ruining experience, but I do understand. I really do understand the frustration for those, like when there's something that I really care about, Star Wars Episode 7, the new Marvel movie, things like that. I try to avoid learning anything about it ahead of time too. I do, because I understand that. But on the other hand, I do think we've gotten a little too paranoid about it. I mean, if for those of you who are involved in,
I agree.
If you're involved in these groups, you know that the moderators for these groups, their entire days for weeks leading up to these big releases, their entire days are filled with just monitoring for spoilers being dropped in these groups. And it's just crazy. It's silly. It's silly that that happens. So that leads me to the question, what is the motivation of someone who likes to spoil stuff for others? I know that it happens accidentally sometimes. Sometimes it's a legitimate accident. I didn't realize that you hadn't seen it, or I didn't think of that as a spoiler. Okay, but then other times it's people who are just doing it because they know it's going to rile people up. So what is the motivation there? Like, what do people get from that?
I mean, Fallout 4 and I had already seen Star Wars, but both Fallout 4 and Star Wars were spoiled in a game of Rocket League.
Yep, they just typed it out, you know, didn't they?
Yeah, somebody I don't know who had already pre-typed it, and so they just basically copy and paste
spam
or did
it.
Something
yeah.
real fast, and it was a pretty, it was almost like a paragraph long, well not a paragraph, a couple sentences, but it was long sentences, so it was clearly not them just sitting there typing it with their PlayStation controller. And it was planned, they did it maliciously, they wanted everybody to see, and it was done at the end of the match, so it just flashed on the screen like they were talking trash, but instead, I'm reading what happens to both these things. And when I first saw it, I was like, oh my gosh, what a freaking jerk. And I think that's the motivation, is they just want to be a jerk. The people that do it on accident, they just have different standards. Like, I would be one that could probably accidentally spoil something for somebody just for the simple fact that I am more laid back, and I'm like, seriously, you're going to get upset by this picture? Or you're going to seriously get upset because I told you Nathan's last name is Drake? I mean, stuff like that, that's just stupid, and I don't think that way. But stuff like that, I think, is that's a major... major spoiler done in that type of way, it's just malicious because they enjoy being a jerk.
You know, it reminds me of when a kid decides to misbehave, and when it comes down to it, when you get to the reasoning behind it, it comes down to them just wanting attention. And even bad attention is still attention. I mean, do you think that is connected at all psychologically behind an adult or even a teenager who is acting out like that? Like, do they just like the response? They just need attention in that way, maybe?
I mean, I would agree, like, for, like, a Facebook post or something like that, yes. For, like, Rocket League, it's kind of weird because it's like, what type of attention are you getting? The only thing that you're getting is you're knowing you're pissing somebody off. That's it. But you don't actually see their reaction unless somebody messages you. Maybe that's their intent. Like, I hope somebody messages me. Calls me an effing a-hole. Like, I didn't message them.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything. I think I reported them and blocked them because it was two guys that did it.
Well, yeah, in that case, that's a little different. When it's two, I think you've got a couple of buddies that are trying to one-up each other and make each other laugh. And, you know, in the same way that, you know, two teenage boys out, you know, causing trouble in town, knocking over mailboxes or egging houses, whatever. Whatever really annoying... misdemeanor type things they're doing, they're doing it to egg each other on, make each other laugh, to impress each other. And I think that's the same mindset when you've got multiple people doing that. I'm curious about that solo person who just drops some kind of big spoiler for no apparent reason. I just don't understand that.
I think
mindset.
it's attention. Yeah, I think you nailed it. I think it's just, hey, you know, maybe they're not getting attention in a positive way, so this is their way to to get a negative type of tension.
Yeah.
You see it all the time. Again, I told you you could actually break this topic down and apply it to a lot of things that happen in life. There's so many adults who act like children that they want attention.
Yeah.
So they'll do weird stuff or rude stuff or bad things. I actually had this conversation tonight, and we won't go too deep in it. It's just as an example. We were talking about politics, and again, don't get scared, Tim. I'm not going to sit here and give you a speech about who you should vote
censored.
For. Censored. Your dad, Derek, cut off. But one of the things we were talking about is some of the people that I was talking to, not big Trump supporters, okay? They had nothing but terrible things to say about this, and they're just like, I don't understand how these idiots could vote for him, blah, blah, blah. And I just broke it down real easy for him. I was like, because Trump knows how to get attention.
Oh, yeah.
And he's using negative behavior in the eyes of most people. I'm not going to say everybody feels this way. He's using negative behavior. He's saying certain things that he understands that CNN, Fox News, ABC, CBS, all those channels are going to grab because they're attention seekers, mm-hmm. and post it, and then everybody's going to listen to it.
See, that's what he does. And that's how he keeps himself in the center of every conversation about politics.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you think about Trump, because I do certainly have some strong opinions about him, and they're not all super positive. But regardless of what you think about Donald Trump, about whether or not he should be president, which would be crazy, but regardless of what you think about him, I think you have to admit that he and his team have brilliantly played the media and social media, both in terms of his Twitter account,
they
the things that he
knocked
put.
It out of the park.
Oh, they killed it. And because the media, he actually drives what news coverage covers for these entire 24, 48-hour news cycles. Everything from the immigration issue, they covered that because he talked about it. Women versus men in the workplace and, you know, misogyny in politics, they covered it because of some obtuse, dumb comments that he made. Everything that he talks about, they cover because he's a magnet. He's a magnet for attention. And maybe there is some of that when it comes to, even if you're going to have to ruin someone's experience or potential experience with a game or TV show, whatever, it just brings you that rush of attention. Even if it's negative attention, people are looking at you. And you're right. There might be something to that people feel, you know, when they get that chance to, I don't know.
Well, what I was gonna say is, it is an attention seeking, and how his tactics have worked. And just to add this on real quick, Rand Paul was I saw him doing a video, and he was talking about why he can't win, and he basically said, he threw out stats. He's like, in 1 month, and he just named 3 news channels. He said, Donald Trump received 180 minutes of airtime.
Yeah.
That means for 180 minutes on 3 channels, they were talking just about Trump.
Sounds about
right,
yeah.
The next one below him was, I believe, Ted Cruz at 80 minutes.
Okay.
So that's a full 100 minutes difference.
Right.
And then Rand Paul, since he was the one talking, said he received, this is awesome, 30 seconds of airtime.
That's even less than his dad got when he was running. That's rough.
Exactly. So when I was talking to these people, I said, if you were looking to eat somewhere, and there was a certain restaurant, maybe it's not a very good restaurant, had gotten airtime, was advertisement time, 180 minutes compared to 30 seconds, what's the chances that you're going to see the 180 minutes airtime over the 30 seconds to make a decision on where you're going to
eat?
More than likely, you're never even going to see the 30-second restaurant. It might be a really good restaurant being advertised at all.
Right.
And so you'll just see the one that's constantly on there and be like,
that's just brand awareness marketing 101. You just keep it in front of their eyes and keep it in their ears, and then they won't be able to do anything but think about you if you keep advertising like that.
And that's what Donald Trump's done. Yeah. And that negative attention is what he's after. And that's going back, and for people that are going, why the hell are y'all talking about Donald Trump when I'm sitting here? I sound like Senator Sanders. When I'm just sitting here right now trying to listen about spoiler. Listen, the reason I brought it up is because they want negative attention.
Yeah.
We live in a society that pushes and praises and worships and gives people attention that do crazy things and rude things and terrible things to people. And we do it all the time. We do it with spoilers. We do it with presidential candidates. And
with sports stars, too. The quick example, I saw there was a headline about Bryce Harper this past week. He's a baseball player for the Nationals, I think. I don't know baseball too well, but he's a very popular, very good baseball player. And he had been ejected in the game. And when his teammate hit the walk-off home run to win the game, he made sure and was caught on camera to let the ref know what he knows what he thinks about it. It was just a very short interaction, and you could read his lips without any... There's no way to misunderstand what he was saying. That made headlines, and that was shared on Twitter and was at the top of a few different sports websites' headlines for at least a day. What was much lower on that list, actually had to dig for it, was in that same news cycle, that same guy, Bryce Harper, was seen giving... I forget exactly what it was, some kind of money that he had gathered from others or from himself. I'm not sure. He gave it to a homeless person.
And he took a whole like bucket of money and gave it to a homeless
person. I don't know exactly the motivation. I didn't even have to read it. I didn't really read either of the articles about him, but it just caught my attention, that super positive article. It's not getting the clicks. I'm sure they've got analysis behind the numbers, behind the pages, the articles. People aren't as likely to click on that than they are to the controversial, crazy thing. So that same type of approach works with talking about a game or a movie or TV show. If you were to simply make a post that said, "I'm so excited about Uncharted 4, that'd be one
thing.
Nobody
cares.
But if you were to go on, if you were to go on Reddit, discover the big spoiler, and then make a post that said, "Hey guys, boom, dies. Someone dies in this game. You know, Nathan Drake dies in this game." And then they bring him back to life and then he dies again. And everyone's like, "What are you doing?" You know what I mean? Like, that would be a huge spoiler. That would be crazy. And you would get all the attention in the world compared to a post that's not negative like that. And that's not a spoiler like that. You might get ignored, potentially. And maybe that's the experience. Maybe people are just sick of being ignored. And the only way to get that attention is to be controversial. So
people, stop being attention seekers.
Yeah.
This coming from the guy who posts crazy stuff to try to get y'all to laugh at him. And don't spoil stuff. Don't be an ass.
Yeah, but I also think it goes to the other side. Those of you who are super paranoid, chill out a little bit about the spoilers.
Stop. Like, that's ridiculous.
Chill out a little bit.
Not everything is a spoiler.
And you know what? I think we're kind of preaching to the choir. Most of our listeners, most people in our group, I think are pretty level-headed. I haven't seen a lot of freakouts. But if you do find yourself kind of getting worked up over potential spoilers for something, just take a deep breath and realize, even if I learn the biggest plot twist, I could still enjoy this thing. Also, life's going to go on. Like, it doesn't have to be something that you lose your mind over. So,
yeah. And I think it goes back to, like I said, it's very important for me personally that people start taking personal responsibility. If you don't want something to happen in your life, there are steps you can take to try. I'm not saying you can completely avoid bad things happening, but you can. You can take the steps necessary to do that. And if it's simply just, "Hey, I'm this pair," like for instance, I said I hadn't seen Game of Thrones. I know every time I go in there, because I follow a lot of Game of Thrones stuff, I am at risk.
Yeah.
Every night that I don't watch this show, I'm at risk for something casual to spoil it. And I've already seen a couple memes, and I just saw them real quick, and my brain immediately goes, something happens with this
guy. Yeah, and you're going to have to make sure you don't even look at news websites, because a lot of times they'll put out an interview with whatever actor was involved with some pivotal scene. "Hey, so what was it like when this big thing happened?" You're like, "Well, great, I didn't want to know about that yet." And if you didn't watch it the night it released, then too bad for you, I guess.
You know what I will say that I find really annoying? Yeah, this is really annoying. I follow on YouTube a lot of gamers who do walkthroughs. And you know how they'll do, like, episode 12, blah, blah, blah. I really can't stand that they'll spoil, like, they'll actually put, like, stuff that's obvious spoilers in their picture to advertise that episode.
That's rough.
So, like, for instance, Uncharted, there are plenty of people who got the game early who have completed their walkthroughs on YouTube, and they'll put, like, episode 18, the ending, and then I'll have a picture of characters, and I'm like, well, that gives me a general idea. Again, it's not being spoiled, But now it's putting my brain in the mind of this is probably is what's happened.
You got to take your own advice, man. Stay off of that YouTube.
And it annoys me because I'm like, all you have to do is just not do that. Yeah. But like you said, I have to stay off YouTube if I'm noticing that. It's just something I ran into today and I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that.
Well, and something that most of us just have to learn to live with. If you're not going to make it a priority, both in terms of your money and your time, to experience something as early as you can, just prepare yourself ahead of time. You are, as each day goes by, you're more likely to have some big detail about a movie or game thrown out there. It's just going to happen. And you have to make your peace with it. Otherwise, it's time to pony up the cash and get on board early so you can experience it before anyone says anything. But all right, I think we've covered that plenty. Let's go ahead and wrap things up tonight, Derek. And just a reminder to all of you listening, we would like to get more questions and interaction from you guys. We want to use it. So whether you want to write it out and send it to me, that's great. Or if you want to go ahead and record yourself with some audio, with some video, I can pretty easily grab that and throw it in the episode. You just want to give us your name and then whatever question or comment you want to add. And we'd love to include any and all of you in the shows moving forward. So,
yeah, I'd love for people to record themselves asking questions.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Love to hear it on the show.
Great. All right. Well, thanks, Derek, for your time tonight. And thank you all for listening. And we will catch you next time.
Who is your daddy?
I am the father.
You fathers will understand.
My father taught me many things.
I got an idea. How about you all sit there quietly while I make dad noises?
Deuces.
Oh my gosh, stop saying deuces.
Yeah, I know. You keep freaking cutting it off, you censored ass.
Yeah, I'm censoring that.
You just censored that. That's why I called you an ass, because it's not even going to be on the show.
And I'm censoring you talking about it. Censored again. This last 30 seconds is just gonna be me talking to myself saying, and I censored that.